Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your home live.
Welcome to this place. Welcome to this place. Thank you. The Lord bless You are good. 1964 was a special year. He definitely has to change that, right? on August 20th, 1964.
Thank you.
1964, President Lyndon Johnson was our president. And First Lady, Doris Lieber. And the song, number one song for that year, I Got You, Baby. Sonny and Cher. And Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews broke Babe Ruth's home run record. He had 772 home runs. And the rapper was known as KRS. Generation X, that's that's what you are. You are Generation X. Okay. And this was the first time we ever walked in space.
Ah.
So those are just a few of the things that happened in 1964, along with Ali being listed for the heavyweight championship of the world. And also, in 2027, Bassett, you'll be able to grab that calendar and you'll be able to see 1964.
All right.
When we were told that we were invited to come and fellowship with Pastor, there were some words that I discovered that reminded me so much of her that I would like to share with you. P is for the preacher. God called her to be. S is for the anointing gifted to you by God to share and lead. S is for the shepherd anointed to guide God's flock. T is for the teacher who studies and shares God's word. O is for obedience, a heart of compliant submission to Him. R is for the righteousness by which you live and are blessed. And with those words, I just want to say, Pastor Black, we at Greater St. Stephen's love you dearly. We're not just going to honor you today. We will honor you every day that we spend time with you as our angel and shepherd of this church.
Amen.
I love and appreciate you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Mother. God bless you, all of you. You know what? It is always an honor to be in the house of the Lord, and we know that for 2 years now, we haven't been able to come together, but we are here today to celebrate and honor the Lord for the woman of God. I missed yesterday, so I'll take my liberty today to say, Pastor, it has been an honor to serve with you. And this second time around, or the third time around, or however many times God allows us to work together, we honor God for that. So we praise the Lord. As we are getting ready now for the ministry from Psalm, we have East Side Model Day Community.
Yes.
Followed.
Yes.
Followed by God's spoken word, Pastor D. God bless you. So good to have you here.
Yes.
Amen. And then we will have our remarks from the angel of the house and the benediction by our Pastor Kennedy Hayes Black. I am a member. It is a privilege and an honor to be your presider today for just this short period of time. And remember, my sisters and brothers, God can do more in 30 minutes than he did in a lifetime. God can do more in an hour and a half than he did in a lifetime.
Yes.
I don't know about some of you, but some of us need some healing on this year. Some of us need some deliverances up here. So we come to celebrate, but also with the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty, there's blessing, and there's hope, and there's joy, and there's peace. So that's where we are today. So we praise God, and we will yield the floor, and we'll govern yourselves accordingly.
Amen. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Beam. I'm the pastor of Eastside. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you. This is family, you know. This is a family. And good to see all of you. So my best friend and my brother
is one of the worship leaders at our church. His name is Alonzo Chadwick.
Uh-huh.
He was actually going to lead worship at our church this morning, but he was going to come here and sing before I preached, but he got sick. So I actually ended up leading worship at church. I don't sing, but I did my thing. What we're going to do right now, since I don't have a worship team here, we just going to sing some songs together. Can we do that together?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask y'all old school choir style. Stand up on your feet. Actually, I could play a little bit and play one of this
right.
Well,
you
know, play this on out. Okay. Here we go. Well, you could see that one thing.
We are called. And I want to think about it from this perspective.
In Acts 9, after Saul's conversion, God told Ananias that Saul was his chosen instrument. Uh-huh. And that he had chosen him to be an instrument to the Gentiles. Before I get too deep into this thing, let me pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this occasion. Thank you for 17 incredible, faithful years Pastor Black has served this church. God, and I thank you that you would order her steps and that you would lead and guide her and this church into their future, into the destiny and purpose that you have already planned for this ministry. We ask that you would take these words and that you would make them make sense, God. If I don't make sense, Spirit, you translate
in
into the way that
they
need to receive it,
yeah,
that this might make sense.
Yes,
in
God.
Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he says to Ananias, I've chosen Saul to be this instrument to the Gentiles. And we hear that kind of talk often, that we are kingdom ambassadors,
uh-huh,
that we're going to be used to do the work of the Lord. Right, to tear down systems of injustice, or to bring joy and peace and reconciliation to the Lord, that we all have this certain purpose as kingdom citizens, that we are a body of Christ, that we're supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this earth. But there's usually not a lot of practical that goes along with that.
All right.
What does that mean really in our day today? So today I want to talk just really practically.
All right.
So God has chosen us who are followers of Jesus Christ to live out the reality of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So that this world might be transformed and in this earth get a foretaste of the kingdom of God through us.
Yeah.
We are the only people that can bring the kingdom of God down. That's
yeah.
why Jesus
yeah.
talked in
yeah.
the prayer and said, let thy kingdom come. So we're told we're supposed to go in the power of the Spirit and speak truth to power, defend the defenseless, to act justly and love mercy.
Yes, yes, yes,
with our
yes.
God. We are called to mediate as a royal priesthood between God and man and to bring the reality of heaven to earth. That those who might see our lives and not know our God might hear the gospel and see the gospel live out through us and come to believe and love and trust this Jesus, the Christ, Savior of the world.
Yes.
So we, as kingdom people, are called to effect meaningful and significant change in this earth.
Yeah.
Not just to come and do church in the church
come
walls.
On now. Come on now.
But to do meaningful and significant things to bring the reality of one thing I think I see all the time is that the world has a lot of influence on the church.
Uh-huh.
But the way that God would have it is that the church
yes, yes,
would take
yes.
the principles of his kingdom
yes,
and
give
them out in such a way to the world. Because to the world, we live upside down.
Yes.
But the reality is the kingdom is right side up, but the world is upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are the people that live out the truth in such a way that it shows the world what the kingdom looks like, what peace and harmony can look like, what humble submission, serving one another, loving one another could look like. But there's a gap between what we've been called to do,
oh,
and the actuality of us actually living that out.
Yeah.
Wow. And I believe that gap is our desire, our willingness to trust God. There's who God has called us to be. There's this purpose that God has intended for our lives. And there's where we are. And oftentimes, most times, I'm willing to bet in our situation, the gap between this place and that place is our ability, our decision, our intentionality to trust God. So as we talk about this, I'm going to take a brisk walk through just part of the life of Moses. And from it, I want to speak to you about your own life as a black. I want to speak to you about where you might find yourself. Mary St. Stephen, I want to speak to you about where you might find yourself. And we discern by the Spirit what the Lord might be trying to say.
All right.
To us,
yes, sir.
Today.
Have your way, God.
So I want to start a little bit at the end, and then we'll go back and see how we got there. Exodus, the 14th chapter. What verse do y'all read in this church? I want to read the tongue that y'all read. I have NIV. Y'all NIV? Okay. Let's go to Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 29th verse. And it says this. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground.
Uh-huh.
With a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. The people feared the Lord, and they put their trust in the Lord and in Moses, his servant. What a victorious day.
Mm-hmm.
And what a statement that is, that the people put their trust in the Lord and in Moses.
Wow.
It didn't say that there was a reduction of trust between the two.
Wow.
There's trust in the Lord, and there's trust in Moses. It don't say big trust, little trust. It said they trusted in the Lord and they trusted in Moses.
All right.
Isn't this where we would like to be?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Walking with the Lord, living out our purpose, in obedience to the Lord, and experiencing these mountaintop type moments in our
lives.
Yes. But the reality is Moses didn't get here because he did everything right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Moses didn't get here because he was without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Moses got to this moment because even though things were hard, even though life tried to kill him, he trusted in the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's go to Exodus, the first chapter, verse 22. That's the last verse in the first chapter, and then we're going to go into chapter 2. I'm going to read it for us. It says this. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile,
mm-hmm.
the river.
Mm-hmm.
But let every girl live.
Uh-huh.
Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When he saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But when she could hide him no longer, she got a basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in the basket and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him.
Yeah.
Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said.
Mm-hmm.
Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water.
Mm.
The life of this one who just had this mountaintop experience began here.
Uh-huh.
A baby that was supposed to die.
Mm.
According to Pharaoh's decree,
mm-hmm.
that all the male children be put to death.
Yeah.
But the girls can live. But this baby mother, full of faith, said, I'm going to hide and protect my son.
Yeah.
And the son actually becomes the daughter of Pharaoh's, or the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What am I trying to say about trusting God from this aspect of Moses' life? Well, you should trust God, number one, because no matter the circumstances that you were born into, they are not a disqualifier for God's plan for your life. Some of you from birth were almost killed one way or another. And it's not at birth. Since birth, there have been attempts on your own life. Maybe even by your own self. An attempt on your own life. But somehow you see here in the midday, and that's evidence that God has preserved your life. Now this ain't no thank God that somebody died and you stayed alive. No, no, this is a moment of recognize that God has allowed you to still be here for a purpose. Like Moses, your life has purpose, and this purpose didn't just show up once you became aware of God. The reality is that God has always been aware of you and has had a plan for your life, has a much better plan than you have for your own life.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Number two, I want us to trust God because the way that God has wired you is to connect it to his plan for you.
All right.
Exodus 2 says this. When Pharaoh heard of this, heard of what? Well, Moses, being a Hebrew, but now he's being raised by these Egyptians, he's starting to recognize his Hebrew identity and starting to feel for his people that are being enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes out to check on his people one day because he's privileged living in the Egyptian
house, right?
In Pharaoh's house, and he sees one of his Egyptian or one of his Hebrew brothers being beat by an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And so it said he looked to the left, looked to the right, and he crossed the street, and he went and killed the man. As long as nobody was watching.
Yeah, yeah.
When Pharaoh found out about this, that's what this is picking up on.
Uh-huh.
Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses.
Yes, he did.
But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
Yeah.
Where he sat down by a well. But Moses fled from Pharaoh to meet in Midian. We sat down by the well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came to draw water at the well that he was sitting by to fill their troughs of water for their father's flock. Some shepherds came along to the well and drove them away, those the daughters. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flocks.
Mm.
Why am I mentioning that?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you may not notice, what I may didn't really notice, and what Moses maybe probably didn't notice, is that he can trust God because what God has in store for his life, he's already wired him for.
Yeah.
See, if you look at the end of the life, Moses is going to Pharaoh, stepping to the head man over the whole slave situation, over the whole government, over the whole system, saying, let my people go. He's a justice warrior. Right? He's fighting for the rewards, but look earlier. What did he do to the Israelites? He killed the man that was being unjust to the Hebrew, or
yeah,
to the Hebrew boy.
Yeah.
What did he do when he saw these men chewing away the women at the well? He came and stood on in their defense.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is God wired Moses in a way to be a defender of his people well before Moses knew it.
Yeah.
And the same is true for you. Whatever purpose God has for you in your life, the purpose that he has for St. Stephen, he's already shown it and revealed it, though we may not be seeing the dots that we just need to connect. Exodus 2, excuse me.
My God.
Amen. So what happens after that? The daughters go home. The Bible says that they got there sooner than they would have gotten there. And their dad said, how did y'all get back so quick? And they told him the story about Moses and what he did for them. He said, hey, go back and get that man and invite him to dinner. So they went and got Moses' father to dinner, and then he was given one of the shepherd's daughters. And then he became a shepherd in his house.
Uh-huh.
So you got this Moses who ran from his home just to be safe, running for his life.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up in this place, burying this woman and becoming a shepherd to this flock. Mm. He's now, he says, a strange man in a foreign land. But that strange land and that foreign land was not foreign to God.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was his own sin that caused him to have to go there, God was still working on Moses in those spaces. You see, when he left his homeland, he was about 40 years old. Well, for 40 more years, he stayed in that place, being a husband and being a shepherd. When he was in Pharaoh's house, he was being trained to run the slave plantation. But when he got to Midian, he was trained to be a shepherd.
No
matter even
on.
What God, what he was going into, God was changing his identity in order for him to be able to fulfill his purpose.
Yeah. That's right. That's
but
right.
He had to get him to a place.
Yeah.
Some of y'all are in a foreign place, and you think it's punishment. But it's where God has you to equip you for what he called you to.
My God, that's good.
Lord.
That's good.
I don't know what's going on with my notes right now, but the devil is alive. He's going to get to this thing
come
right
on.
Here.
Jesus.
So Moses has this encounter with this burning bush.
Uh-huh.
This is now at the age of 80, around there.
Mm-hmm.
Left home running away at 40,
mm-hmm.
40 years in Midian, now at near 80,
mm-hmm.
age 80, he's a shepherd, tending to the flock, and then he gets sight of this burning bush.
Right.
And that's where the Lord meets with him.
Okay.
And finally in that place,
Jesus.
The Lord tells him what he has for him to do. The man is 80 years old. 8, Moses stopped. This thing was over. Moses did not know there was nothing meaningful left in his life. And at the age of 80, the Lord told him what his plan was for him all along. After God tells Moses what he wants him to do, Exodus 4:1 says this, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? And they say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. He ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The difference between and the gap between where God is taking us, where God is taking you, and where you are, is this moment where you find yourself in a spot that God has finally revealed to you what your purpose on this earth is.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you clearly your assignment. And now you have to make a decision of whether you're going to trust him or not.
My God.
And many of us have been off course. Many of us, like the children of Israel later in their story, spent 40 years going around a journey that should have been 40 days because we have not trusted in the Lord. How did the children of Israel get in that position? Right? I know we think that it's about majority rules, But when they went to assess the land, two came back saying we can take it. But the majority said we can't. Those majority were wrong. And that believing and trusting the majority over trusting what God can do with two is what had them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So they came with this, with these excuses,
mm-hmm.
with these insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have them.
Right.
We all have them.
Right.
If God is calling you to do what he's calling you to do, it's going to be greater than you.
Yeah, that's right.
You should feel like you can't accomplish it.
Yeah.
But I want you to trust God because God has given you what you need to accomplish it. What did God ask Moses when Moses said, what about if they don't listen to me and they say that you haven't appeared to me? He asked him, what is in your hand? Moses said, a staff. Duh, like, I'm a shepherd. But God is telling him, but use what I put in your hand.
Yeah.
He was a shepherd to those sheep. But God needed him to shepherd the flock.
Yeah.
So he had him for 40 years in Midian learning how to become a shepherd. Because who knows what he was learning from Pharaoh? There was a lot to undo in his heart, in his mind, in his understanding. So now he's taught him how to serve sheep.
Yeah.
And now he said, I have a flock, I have a people
yeah.
that I need you to lead.
Yeah.
Like you've been leading these sheep for
yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
Some of you, God has given you gifts. God has given you skills. God has given you, but you're looking at the circumstance. Wait, this is what I do here. Well, it's the same skill set, different company. Same skill set, different ministry. Same skill set, different community or different industry. But God has given you the gifts, what you need to accomplish, what he has you to accomplish. A lot of times, the way God does things, it reminds me of the Karate Kid. God teaches us in ways, and we're learning lessons unaware.
Uh-huh.
Right? Daniel's son.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand why Mr. Miyagi hasn't played Netflix.
Yeah.
Why? I asked to learn karate.
Uh-huh.
What is this about? What is this about? Why am I watching your car when I asked to learn karate?
Uh-huh.
And it was at the point of frustration
yeah.
where Mr. Miyagi had to tell him, Daniel, son. What's wrong? What's wrong? The whole time I'm teaching you what I need you to know, what you need to know to apply this to pass. And the same is true of you and me. What you're going through, what God has you going through is not purposeless. God is not wasteful. He doesn't waste anything. And he's not going to waste any experience you've gone through. No matter how painful. No matter how egregious, no matter how traumatic, God is not going to waste anything that he has allowed you to experience. He will redeem it all for his glory. He's going to use it. And that's what Moses found himself. In this place, doubting, insecure. They're not going to leave me. After God showed him that, right? So God showed him what he's going to do with the staff. Throw it on the ground. Boom. Oh, it's a snake. It said he ran. Okay, I don't know if the snake caught up. I don't know if Moses came back. But they got together, and he said, pick it up. Now, at that point, this is where I feel like Moses has more faith than me. Why am I picking up the snake? But Moses had enough faith at this point to reach back out, and it became a staff. Now, if that happened in our midst, I think at this point God got me.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you say do at this point,
right.
I'm going to go ahead and do because you just turned the staff to the
face. Yeah.
And then back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But check this out. Chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths?
Wow.
Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Look, I'm almost done, but this is what I need you to know. Some of us are in the now go moment.
All right. Well,
you made your excuses, you revealed your experience, and God has shown you he can be trusted. He moved the mountain already. He healed the sickness before. He did the miraculous before. He's already shown you that he's capable to accomplish in you what he's asking of you. And we still come with our excuses. But some of you just need to now go. I want you to trust in the Lord because your excuses are not valid.
No. My.
Because God specializes in taking the little we have to offer and making it enough. First, God takes nothing and makes everything. And then we see all through the scriptures, God taking the little that someone has to offer and making it enough. Don't look at what you have and what you don't have. What God is asking of us is to look at what we have in our hands and to trust him to make what we have and offer him in faith enough to accomplish what he set out for us to do. We have so many examples in the scriptures. We can look at Esther. We can look at Joseph. We can look at David. We can look at the young man in the New Testament with his lunch. He had this lunch. He was a little boy going for lunch. And he said, yo, I need what you got to feed this multitude. He did not have enough to feed the people, but he offered him what he had.
Yeah.
And the Lord took it and broke it and blessed it.
Yeah.
And they were all filled. What you have will never be enough. But what God has for you, and he does it that way because that way only he can get the glory.
Yeah.
He knows that if he gives us everything we need to accomplish it, we get a little prideful. We get a little boastful. We start poking our little chest out. But the Lord just wants you to trust him. You don't gotta see the whole picture. But if he likes your next step, then trust him. Some of us want the whole street light on. We want to be able to see down the mile. You want to see, God, show me where I'm going. No. There's a level of trust, a deeper level of faith and trust in him. But God, if you will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto me, to watch the very next step, I'll take it.
My God.
This is just a snippet of Moses' life. I wish I had time to go all into it. This is a little snippet of Moses' life that gets us to this point where after his obedience, after him going back to Pharaoh and let my people go in the place and all of that, at the end of that thing, we're reading that piece where he's standing on dry land on the other side of the Red Sea. And he looks back and sees that the Egyptians have been taken out by the water, that God has brought him through. But there was a moment when he was looking at that burning bush and God was having that conversation that turned this thing either into what would be or what would not be. Would he trust in the Lord? And whether he would or not is basically what makes us be reading about him or not.
Right. Well, that's good.
If Moses don't say yes, there's no story here.
Yeah.
Not one significant enough to be in the Bible. He was not enough to hear a Negro that didn't do what the Lord told him to do. The point of the story, the reason that in Holy Scripture is that he trusted in the Lord. He was not without a doubt, though.
Yeah.
The Lord was even so kind, he didn't even just make him go by himself. He said, look, I'll give you Aaron to go with you.
Yeah.
I'll let him speak on your behalf. But the Lord is kind. He hears us. But the ultimate question is, will we say yes to the Lord? Will we go? And as I was preparing for tonight and thinking about what I would share, that's what I felt impressed upon me.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I had looked over this. This was something more recent that I had been working on, even for my own church and whatnot. And it wasn't until this morning that the Lord brought this back to me in relationship to this community here. And those of you who would sit here and those of you who would hear this word. And so I don't have, I don't know how it's going to hit all of you today, but I know for a fact that there are some in this room who are up against some hard decisions.
Yeah.
And there are some fears keeping you in a place too long.
Oh God.
And the enemy would love for you to stay there because the enemy don't mind you being busy and active. He just don't want you fulfilling your purpose.
Yeah.
But we are kingdom people. So because some of our minds are warped and wrapped into this idea that success in this kingdom life is the same as success in the world, we think because we got the job with the most money, because we're in the situation that the world says is successful, that we're in God's will. Don't we know that the ways of the kingdom are foolishness to the ways of the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we understand that success in the kingdom is not the same as success in the world? Some of you are working jobs that pay good money, but are totally outside of your purpose. Some of you got jobs that won't allow you to be who God has called you to be, but you don't trust him enough to provide for you, to lead and be where God has actually called you to be. But even in the church, we've been discipled by the culture. So we think that the more money, that's the evidence of God's blessing. So that's always the road we're supposed to take. But God is looking for a people that would be able to live a life that says, for much or for less, God is my provider.
Yeah.
God is my source. Any job God gives you is simply a resource. And if he provides that, he can provide another.
Yeah.
But the source is God.
Yes,
sir. Put your trust in the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Pastor Black.
Amen.
Put your trust in the Lord.
Come on, sir.
Whatever the Lord is dealing with you about regarding your life, regarding this ministry, it don't matter what no one would have to say about your obedience.
Yeah.
It don't matter how you would be looked at or what the enemy wants you to think your perception would be in the, or your reputation would be in the community. The community needs to see. The city needs to see. Men and women who will put their trust in the Lord to do what seems like the foolish thing, the crazy thing, for his glory, that he might be praised, that men and women might see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Our trust, our confidence should be in no one else. Money is useful, but it's just a tool. Our social accounts, our social bank accounts, our social equity, right? There are some things that God is calling some of you to call out, to speak up on, but you'll be outcast by the people you care about.
Wow.
The opinions of the people. And so you shut your mouth.
Oh my God.
Everybody wants to talk about tearing down systems of oppression when it comes to the government. Well, every system has a government.
Mm-hmm.
My house has a government.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Come on now. Come on.
Just like the national, my house has a government. There are people in authority, and there are people who have to submit to that authority.
Right.
At whatever level, at your job, there's a head, there are people who submit to the head. Right? So don't get so high and mighty, right, that we can point at the politicians like they're the only ones who are supposed to affect change. We can call out oppression. God has put some of you in positions where you now get to change some of the oppressive policies.
Come on. My God, my God.
But you might be afraid to get on the bad side of those who put you in that position. That's a fear keeping you from living out your purpose too.
Jesus, speak Holy Ghost.
Can you imagine what this world would be like if the owners of apartment buildings were kingdom people who said, we're not going to just raise wage when we can. We're going to consider the whole scope of things. We're going to see to do what's fair, what's right by the people.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the owners of these companies and of these businesses were kingdom people who said, we're not going to pay the lowest wage we can and just pocket all the more just to be greedy. We're actually going to give people what they have earned, what they value, what they're worth. Like, can you imagine if this world was run by kingdom people? But there are many of us in the world we're just not living out our kingdom reality. So the world is not benefiting from the salt that we are.
Oh my.
And the scripture says, then what's the point of the salt? If it's lost its flavor, then why is it in the... What am I shaking on my potatoes for? If salt don't taste like salt, then what am I shaking it onto my mashed potatoes with bacon and sour cream? Praise the Lord. What am I shaking it? Salt has a purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Kingdom people in the earth have a purpose.
Yeah.
And Reverend St. Stephens, God wants you to live into your purpose.
Amen.
Excuse me. Last thing I'll say is this. Matthew 16:13. And I'm going to be real quick with this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am?
Uh-huh.
And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Or the family shall not go up and say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes we got to go back to the I love the English translation. But sometimes I need to hear it the way I heard it. And he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Greater St. Stephen's, this truth is the rock that everything must be built upon. He is the Christ, Son of the living God. And in that truth is the keys to the kingdom. Y'all know what keys do. They lock some things. And they unlock some things. And I know church has gotten real popular with just being a place to come and be told things to make you feel good. I know that some of them have turned into country clubs where it's just about us in this community and we just come have a good old time when we leave. We come have a good old time when we leave. The Greater St. Stephen's. The Lord is saying, now go.
Hallelujah.
From this place.
Yes.
And take the kingdom to this world.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the size of this building. It doesn't matter the size of this congregation. And I know everybody's coming back from the pandemic, and it's hard sometimes to even know who's here, who's not, who's still with us, who's not, what's the situation. Listen, I just want to encourage you, speak to preach and live out the
gospel
in this community.
Yes.
Because this community needs the gospel more than ever right now.
Yes, sir.
And this gospel, I'm done. Let me turn off this iron. I'm done. I'm done. But sometimes we confuse what the gospel is. And we make the gospel this big, broad, could talk about the Bible, we preach the gospel. No, there are great things in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
But the gospel, right? If the gospel is the power of salvation, then it must be a pretty specific thing. And the gospel is this message of the reality of what Christ has come to do to save this world.
Yeah.
Now, I grew up in a place where you were saved because of what you did or what you didn't do. I grew up in a religious structure where you were saved because of how often you prayed, or you were saved because of how often you read your Bible, or you were saved because of how much money you gave.
Uh-huh.
And we have promoted this as the gospel. But let me at least propose to you that the scripture would say that is not so. And when what the people need, more than more work to do, more burden put on their backs about what God demands of them in order to accept them, is to know the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
And that truth is that before we were ever lovable, God loves us.
Yeah.
The scripture says it this way, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's impossible that Christ required us to become lovable for us to love us if he died for us as an expression of his love while we were still sinning against him. The truth of Christ, and he has called this church, and he has called this woman to be one of the bullhorns to proclaim his truth. And so God is just saying, now go. I will not fail you. I haven't failed you before, and I won't stop now. It's not in my DNA. He's not even able to fail. He will do what he said he will do. He will be for you who he said he will be for you. But he needs you to trust him. You have to let go. That fear, whatever that thing is, keeping you down, let it go. Trust him above it. I promise you, you won't regret it. And it won't always be easy, but it will be worth it. We all have a cross to bear. Someone sold us a good deal of good to come to Christ and it gets easy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we will incur suffering, but it's the joy to suffer with Christ. Because those who suffer with him remain with him. I'm at my time. Pastor Black, you are anointed.
Yes.
You are called. We keep it real.
100.
The world needs real.
Yes.
The world needs more of you, not less of you. People like you, I'm saying. The world needs more people like you. And people are watching. Even if they may not tell you, they're watching how you do what you do because we see the effectiveness. And the effectiveness, again, is not predicated on the size of a church, but your influence and your impact goes so far beyond this physical dwelling.
Yeah.
And you are making a huge gain in the kingdom for the kingdom's sake. And so I respect you. I love you. And woman of God, go and do whatever the Lord has called you to go and do. And he will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will comfort you. He will send the help that you need.
Yeah,
let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you for what you're going to do to these individuals. God, would you increase our faith? Would you give us a faith to trust you even the more? Would you give us the faith to trust you even the more? May you give us the courage to look foolish for your name's sake, that you might be glorified. May you give us the mind where we consider what you think more than what the people think. May you relieve us of this need to be liked and approved by the people, by the likes and the comments and the social media and the
yes.
God, no, you, what your thoughts towards us. your heart toward us. That's all that matters, God. So you are everything. You are all in all. And God, I pray that we would be a people who would encourage each other and remind each other of the truth of who you are. That the world might come to know you and experience you and love you and trust you. And that Portland would be different because kingdom people made a decision to live out kingdom values in the earth. So Lord, you be glorified forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Love you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dean, for that word. I appreciate it more than you know. That's my spirit, and I heard you. Pastor, I don't even know what to say. I think he didn't say it all, but you know we love you. We love you more. I know I love you. I just love you so much.
Amen.
And we just want to present you with your gifts, our token of appreciation for pastoring this church for 17 years. You are an amazing woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I grow up, I just want to be just a little bit like you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And like, never mind, go do that. Okay. everything that Pastor Dean said about you, all the attributes are so true. You know,
Amen.
I had that picture, Pastor's pictures turned off yesterday.
The last minute.
I'm loud. I'm loud. I'm loud enough. And I went to Michael to get some frames. I took Pastor's pictures out and I laid them side by, you know, on top of the frame to see how they were looking. The lady looked at the picture. And she's like, who is this? I said, it's my pastor. And she said, she's so elegant.
Yes.
And she said, you can see it in her. And she's looking at a picture, mind you.
Yes.
So God shines in you and through you. No matter where you go, you wear it so well.
Yes.
And I thank God for you. I thank you for being in our lives.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for putting up with us. I just thank you and I love you. And that lady wanted me to tell you, she said some more things after. I wish she could be here to just tell you herself. But I thought that was just so amazing how God can shine through a picture.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. And know that God does have you.
Yeah.
And we need you.
Yeah.
We need you.
I feel like it is Hang around some folks that need.